2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. This is the reading of God's word. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, unless your spirit works in us, we hear but never hear. We see but never see. So we pray, Father, that you would work in us, that you will grant us an ear to hear your voice through your word, telling us wonderful stories of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, as we hear your living word, let our faith grow, and let us be more and more like your Son, living that holy life that you have called us to live. Oh, Father, we pray that you will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very important passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Christianity is not so much about what we have to do. And yes, what we have to do is also important. We're not saying that is not important. But Christianity is primarily about what Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. And even what we have to do must flow out of what Jesus has done and accomplished for us. Unless Jesus did what he has done, you and I, we are not able to do anything. Only thing we could do is sin and go to hell. So unless Jesus did all these things that Bible claims, then there's no point of talking about how we are to live or whatever. It just, nothing matters then. Because no matter how you live, no matter what you do, we'll all go to hell. So Christianity is not so much of what we have to do, but it is about what Jesus has done, what he has accomplished. And through what Jesus has done and accomplished, the question is then, what kind of person or persons that we have become? And what eternal reality is now true of us in him? You know, when Jesus did what he did, what does that mean? What has happened? When he saved us, what kind of person now we have become? Because he saved us. And what is our eternal reality? According to what he has accomplished. Through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the new creation has been accomplished. This world has passed away. Behold, the new world has come. The heaven has come. Now, we must understand what the Bible is saying when it says that the old has passed away, behold, the new things have come. We are united to Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him we are dead to this world and sin, and we are forever alive to God. That's what the Bible teaches us. And of course, this has not been accomplished visibly, not yet. But nevertheless, it is our present spiritual heavenly reality. You must see through the Word, of course, because it's not visibly consummated yet. But Jesus has accomplished this reality. You must see that all has changed. Everything has been changed. Even though your physical eyes do not see this reality. There has been a cosmic new creation. All is new for all of us who are in Jesus Christ. Even though what you see physically, nothing has really changed. Jesus, think about it, 2,000 years ago, if you were living in Jerusalem, you see Jesus comes and He lives this life. We're talking about physical seeing. And He dies on the cross. He resurrects from the dead and He ascends. But the world, nothing's really changed. You don't see any changes. But Bible claims that there has been the new creation. This is why our religion is all about faith. It's not about sight, but about faith. You must believe. Just because we do not see doesn't mean it did not happen. Just because our physical eyes cannot see this reality doesn't mean this reality doesn't exist. Either Bible is telling us the truth or Bible is lying to us. And some people accept what Bible says and some other people, they don't. But it really doesn't matter who accepts or who rejects. What has happened is true. Biblical truth doesn't just become truth just because somebody accepts it. Even if no one accepts it, truth is truth. And this is what Bible is saying. There has been a cosmic new creation. And for you and me who are in Christ, all is new. Everything has been changed. The gospel is not about our salvation in which we are saved in this world so that as a Christian there will be an improvement, that we will be a little better person in this world. That is not what salvation is about. All the other religion might be that. It's all about learning from that religion so that you could better yourself. You will become a better person in this world. But Christianity is not about that. It's not just an improvement. It's not you just becoming a better person. It's the whole new creation. The gospel tells us that we are a new creation. There has been a cosmic new creation. The old world has been passed away, and the new world has come. And you say, what? What do you mean the old world is passed away? I still see it. And what do you mean that new world has come? I don't see it. So this is why it is impossible for non-Christian to accept this. Unless the Holy Spirit enables you to see and understand and believe what the Bible says, there's no way you're going to accept this. I mean, there are just too many things. It just doesn't make any sense. Because we're so used to judge according to what we see, what we touch, what we feel, what we smell. That's the only thing we're so sure of. Something we could see, something we could touch, something we could smell. Otherwise, I don't know, I'm not sure. That's why Christianity is God's work. He must give you faith. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen, because the only thing you're capable of is judging by what you see, what you touch. That's it. Anything else, you're not sure. And why would you die for something you're not even sure of? Why would you sacrifice anything for something that you're not even sure of? So asking non-Christian to act like Christian is nonsense. But we believe the gospel. We believe what the Bible is telling us. That in spiritual way, this world that you see, this physical world that you see, in one sense, it is already passed away. And the new world has come for us who are in Christ. Of course, that this reality has been accomplished spiritually right now, and when Jesus returns, it will be visibly consummated. This world has been passed away, and we have already came out of this world spiritually, and we have already been delivered into the kingdom of God, heaven. Bible is full of these kind of verses. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, Jesus, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Jesus died for us on the cross to do what? To deliver us out of this present evil age. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which, the cross, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Ephesians 2, 6, and raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That Jesus has already raised us up, we are already resurrected, and we are now sitting at the right hand of God with Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 28, for our citizenship is in heaven. Even though we still live here, and we live here as the citizens of this United States of America, but spiritually, we are already citizens of heaven. It doesn't say that you have to wait, and when you go to heaven, you will become the citizens of heaven. No, you are already. It's not that when you die, you're going to go up and sit it at the right hand of God. No, it's already you are sitting. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, for Jesus delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You have been already transferred to the new world. This is your spiritual heavenly reality. And you must understand what has happened to you. Otherwise, you don't know who you are. And you know who you are only in terms of what the world says who you are. That's it. The new creation has been accomplished, and we who are in Christ Jesus are a part of that new creation, and we have become the citizens of the kingdom of God, heaven. We are no longer citizens of this world. We no longer belong to this world. John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19, I read you so many times, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, if you belong to the world will love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. This is what Christian, or how Christian is. And the Bible message is not try your best to become Christian. No. No one has ability to become Christian. But when God makes us Christian, this is how we are. This is what is true of us. Listen. Listen. Not so much of what I say, but listen to those verses. What the Bible is telling you. And here I am doing my best to explain to you what those Bible verses are saying. To say the same thing in terms of the Old Testament, we have already came out of Egypt. You know, when you read about Israelites, you kind of laugh at them because they're so stupid, it seems. God brought them out of Egypt. And now God is delivering them into the Holy Land, the Promised Land, which was pointing to heaven. Just like us, God brought you out of this world and He delivered you into His kingdom. And when you read what they did, these Israelites, even though God brought them out of Egypt, they actually wanted to go back to Egypt. They were saying to themselves, oh, it was better when I was in Egypt. I wasn't even able to, you know, eat meat, and there were at least, you know, warm food that I could eat. I wish I could go back to Egypt. And you look at that and say, what stupid people. And this is how you are if you do not understand what has happened. You came out from this world. And you're not living in Egypt anymore. You're not living the life that belongs to Egypt anymore. You do not live the life that belongs to this world anymore. You have come out of this world. And you have already been delivered into the new world. And you cannot go back to Egypt. You cannot go back to the world. Because you came out already. God gave you stories so that you may understand what Jesus has done and what is going on even now. Brothers and sisters, you must know that in Jesus Christ, you have already come out of this world, even though you still live physically in this world. Even though we still live here on earth, we have become the citizens of heaven already, and we are living the life that belongs to heaven. The eternal life has already begun in Christians. This is the reality of our salvation. And this is what the Apostle Paul was telling us all along in this second letter to the Corinthian church. Do you remember chapter 4, verse 6? For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The God who said, let there be light, and the whole physical creation began. That same God shone the light in you. New creation has been accomplished. You are no longer belonging to the first creation. Thus, chapter 4, verse 8-10, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in body. Because you have been come out of this world, and because now you belong to the new world, there are two realities. But one is temporary and the other is eternal. So even if I'm afflicted in every way, I'm not crushed. Because that's just temporary. My heavenly reality says completely different. Yes, I might be perplexed, but not disappearing. Persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Struck down many times in this world, but I will never be destroyed. My eternal reality is not being destroyed. How many times, no matter how many times I've been struck down in this world, that's just temporary. Because I have completely new reality. That's why he says in chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thus, he says in 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And we prefer, because of all this, we prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, whether we live or die, to be pleasing to Jesus Christ. Because of all this, if this is all true, then this has to be how we are. Unless you don't believe it. So we no longer live for ourselves, but for Jesus Christ who died and rose again on our behalf. This is what Paul has been saying all along. And here is this climax. Verse 17, therefore, he says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Or ESV or NIV version says, he is a new creation. Ours says new creature. But I like the creation better. Because it's not about individual salvation that is in view. It's cosmic new creation. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. This verse is not just talking about an individual change. Difference between the before salvation and the after salvation of an individual. No, it is talking about, again, the cosmic new creation. It is the same saying as what we find in Revelation chapter 21. Remember what Paul says. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. This is same as what God says in Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And it is accomplished already spiritually. Not visible, but has been accomplished. And when Jesus returns, all that he has accomplished already will be visible. Will be visible. The first heaven and the first earth, what are they? This world that you see with your physical eyes. The first heaven and the first earth passed away. The first things have passed away. Revelation 21 verse 5a, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. The first creation, this world and all the things in this world, pass away. Isaiah 65 verse 17 says, for behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Do you understand? When you go to heaven, you're not even going to remember the things of this world. Completely gone. And that reality has already been accomplished in spiritual way, not visible yet. And this is what you must remember. All this has been already accomplished. You must believe. And my question to you is this, do you see it? Do you see the reality that the old things passed away? Behold, the new things have come. Do you see that? You must see it, for the Bible teaches it. And this is our heavenly reality, even now. Well, then here's Paul's argument. If this is all true, if what we have been saying is all true, then how shall we live? If all this is true, then what do we believe as we live? Who am I now in Jesus Christ, and what is my eternal reality even now? What is absolutely true is that we are no longer to live according to this world, the patterns of this world. Because for us, this world has already been passed away. You don't have any relationship with this world any longer because you now belong to the new world. That is Paul's argument. And don't say as if God is unreasonable. You know, when you hear what God wants us to do and how He wants us to live and all that, and you go, man, don't you know how this world is? You know how hard it is for us to live like this? Wow, that is kind of a dumb question. God, oh, yes, God knows. But this is what God is saying. If this is all true, if really the new world has been accomplished, and if you believe that you belong to the new world, if this is really true, then it's not unreasonable for God to say, well, live according to who you are then. Live according to the reality that you belong to. Why is that unreasonable? Unless you don't believe, then it is really unreasonable. It's like this. Let me put it in an elementary level so everybody here can understand. Do you believe that you are a monkey? Well, then live as a monkey. This is what God is saying. Why is that unreasonable? Do you believe that you are a citizen of heaven? Do you believe that God has raised you up from the dead? Do you believe that He raised you up and seated you at the right hand of God? Do you believe that He made you citizens of heaven? Do you believe that now you have been resurrected and you are no longer belonging to this world? Do you believe all this? Well, then live as what you believe. Live according to what you say you believe. Nothing unreasonable about that. And yet people just complain, oh, you know how hard this is. Yes, we all know how hard this is, but we live by faith. Because if you don't, your life here, whether you live by faith or not, will determine your eternal destiny. It's really, really serious. Unless you think this world is everything and your life here is everything and you die and then that's it, no, nothing else after that, well then. Then you will live according to what you believe. But if that is not true, if what Bible says is true, then it becomes very clear how we should live. We must live according to the reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. We must live according to who we are in Jesus Christ, even now. We must live according to our faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. You are born again from above. You have been recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are a new creation. You do not belong to this world any longer. You have been chosen out of this world by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, do not conform to this world. Through the Word of God, see what has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ and live according to that reality that you see in the Bible. Therefore, Bible says, well, Paul says, because he believes all these things, what does he say in verse 16? Therefore, he says, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. This is what he's saying. We will recognize no one according to the flesh, meaning according to the standard of this world, according to the physical. NIV has it this way. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. If that helps you to understand better, then there you go. We do not recognize, we do not regard no one And no things, not just people, but anything according to the flesh, according to what world says it is. We no longer recognize, we no longer judge anything, we no longer see anything, we no longer say anything, we no longer do anything according to the flesh. Why? Why? Because the old things passed away, and behold, the new things have come. According to flesh, according to the standard of this world. In previous verses, we see how world takes pride in appearance. So it is related to our according to flesh. It's all about appearance. This is what the world is all about. Boasting of appearance. Yeah? What kind of house one lives? What kind of car one drives? What kind of clothing one wears? What kind of jewelry one wears? Which family one is from? What kind of job one has? What kind of school one graduated? How much one makes? This is how the world judges. This is how world recognizes one another. This is how world regards one another. It's all about appearance. And some are, even in this world, some are into higher things. Contribution to the society. Acts of charity. Contribution to the intellectual studies. Medical, technological inventions. But if it is not according to the standard of the new creation, the standard of heaven, then all is according to the flesh. You might value something, some invention, like computer. In the point of this world, according to flesh, it is so important. And then you know it too. Without computer, man, we can't even imagine where we're going to be. But in heaven, that invention is useless. We don't need computers in heaven. So it might not be that important. It's not like 2,000 years ago when we didn't have a computer. Because we didn't have a computer, we had a hard time worshiping God and following God's words. But I'm not saying that it's not important and we don't need it. No, but you have to really understand what is more important. Even in the world, some say that we should not judge anyone according to the appearance. Even then, if it is not according to the heavenly reality, the standard of the new creation, then it is still according to the flesh. Jesus says, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. These things non-Christians are concerned. Living according to the flesh. Paul says, from now on, nothing he judges, nothing he recognizes, nothing he regards, nothing he says, nothing he sees will be according to the flesh. Because the old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. We have become, through the new creation that our Lord has accomplished, citizens of heaven who is no longer able to recognize, no longer able to judge, no longer able to see, say, do anything according to the flesh. It is not according to our new nature. Because now you belong to God. Verse 16b, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Paul, before the conversion, he knew Christ according to the flesh. If you know Christ according to the flesh, then Jesus is just a revolutionist who failed to overthrow the Roman government and then captured and killed by Roman soldiers. He is a total failure, also a cursed one. Why? For the Old Testament says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, and Jesus dies on the tree. If you just look at Jesus dying on the cross, just like all those criminals at the time who dies on the cross, then he's just, what is he? When you look Jesus according to flesh, you're not going to say, oh, he's dying for my sins. No. He's a failure. He wanted to overthrow Roman government, but he failed. And now he's captured. And now he's getting killed. And even Jews will look at him and say, he's a cursed one of God. He's not the Messiah. How can the Messiah will be cursed one? If he is truly the Messiah, according to worldly Jews, then he would have freed the Jews from Roman domination and established a worldly kingdom so that all Jews will rule the world. That's what they were waiting for. That's why they were waiting for the Messiah. So if everything is according to the flesh, Jesus doesn't fit the definition of the Messiah according to the flesh. That's why they kill him. Get rid of him. And that's exactly what the world wants to do. They want people like you and me who proclaim the truth gone. Seriously. If true Christians who proclaim the gospel, if they be removed from this world, man, it's their world completely. And today, so many false teachings teach Jesus as a savior who would make Christians wealthy and healthy. All this is knowing Christ according to the flesh. And not only we must not see Christ according to the flesh, but also we must not see ourselves according to the flesh. And not just ourselves, but all the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, according to this world, you and I, we are truly nobodies. Don't kid yourselves. Or you younger ones. Yeah, Pastor Kim, you say that, but just wait. In 20 years, I'll be somebody. You know, some Christians, they brag about how rich they are because God blessed them. I'm saying, man, if you want to say that your wealth is caused by God, at least be more richer than non-Christian who is more richer than you. Why you even brag about being rich if non-Christian can do better than you? I just don't get it. And then they want to say, oh, God did it. Man, if God, you want to bring God in, then be better than non-Christian. Then say God. But no Christian will be, at least now, no Christian is richer than non-Christian at this time in this world. And not even that level. I mean, just us. We're nobodies. How does the world see you? Seriously. But we do all our best to be recognized by the world as if that is our purpose. Man, you gotta have some pride. Pride of heaven. Your value doesn't go up or down based on what the world says who you are. All those things we said. You know, what college did I go? You know, what family I'm from? What kind of job? What kind of house? What kind of car? Come on. Those things do not determine who we are. Because all those things are according to flesh. The old world has passed away. The new things have come. Forever, you're not going to be judged by those things. Forever, you're not going to be judged by those things that the world thinks is so important. Because God doesn't judge you like that. And it's not just we should not see Christ according to the flesh, but we should not see ourselves according to the flesh, and we should not see our brothers and sisters according to flesh. You are important to me, not because you make so much money and you pay so much tithe in this church. You're important to me because of Christ. Period. That's the only reason. You know, in the world, you gotta have connection. It seems like we don't even have that. We are failures according to many of this world. That's actually what they will think of you. Failures. Nobodies. Yes, according to the flesh, we are nobodies. But according to the reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished for us, you and I, we are the sons of God, the royal priesthood, who even now sit at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ, sitting at the throne of God with Christ, the citizens of kingdom of God, eternal bride of God, the friends of God, the members of God's heavenly family. Oh yes, you are so precious in God's eyes. The old has passed away, brothers and sisters, and the new standard is given to us. Please, brothers and sisters, do not recognize yourself according to the flesh. Do not judge. Do not regard. Do not do say anything according to the flesh. You are important to God. How important that he would even give up his life. That's what determines your value. And let us not look at brothers and sisters with this admiring eye just because they go to better school or they make more money than me and they have better job. Come on. And if you think you have better job, and if you think you have more money, don't look down on your brothers and sisters. You don't even know what is true of you if you do that. You don't even know what the gospel is all about. Let us not follow the standards of this world. Man, with heavenly pride, let's not get that low. We don't belong there. But see, I don't know why it takes so much to convince you. Because you're so focused on so focused on earthly, fleshly standard, that even I tell you, you're Son of God, you still feel your failure. Because you judge still, even as you hear this gospel, you judge yourself by the flesh. Brothers and sisters, stop! God doesn't see you like that. And really doesn't matter. In the world, I want to be a failure. And this is coming from the bottom of my heart. And, you know, when I say that, do not misunderstand. I'm not saying you being lazy and not studying and not going to college and not getting a job. No, that is just your life wasting. I'm not saying that. Go to the best college you could go. Get the best job you could get. But you will not compromise your faith, even if you have to lose it. Oh no, laziness is sin. But I really want to be a failure according to the flesh. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, not even our purposes and meanings of our lives. Recognizing anything according to the flesh is to deny what our Lord has accomplished for us. It is to deny who we are in Jesus Christ. It is to deny our heavenly reality. It is to deny Jesus himself. Behold, brothers and sisters, behold, the new things have come. You know, during Korean worship, I said, I wish I could have a slideshow showing you all these new things, you know, next frame. But if I do that, then it's still according to the flesh. We walk by faith, not by sight. Through the Word of God, brothers and sisters, see clearly our eternal reality of heaven. We belong to the reality in which even death is gain. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Now Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us are the meaning and the purpose of everything. Jesus is the center. He must increase and I must decrease. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And my life, your life, is to witness that reality, that you no longer live, but Christ lives. This is what we are called to show. So you witness the reality of heaven. I know it's not easy. And it's not like, you know, always remember, brothers and sisters, when I preach the standard of God. I don't preach what I do, only the things that I do. I'm not saying here to you that, hey, here I am living like this, why don't you live like me? No. I'm just teaching you the standard of God. And you and I, we must do our best, relying on the grace of God to live this way. But brothers and sisters, the world and Satan will come to you and he will tell you that it will be useless. No matter how much you try, you're not going to do this. And you say to him, yes, you're right. No matter how much I try, I can't do this. But it's God's promise. He will do it. It's his work. That's why he is even now living in you. That's why he brought you to this church, and now you are hearing his word. So that by hearing the word, your faith grow, and by that faith, you will be able to do this. Understand, even as you sit there and listening to this gospel, realize God is working. And your trust, your hope, your certainty is that God who is in you. Understand? Yes, Satan will tell you, you can't do this. And he's right, we can't. But don't be discouraged. Our job is to always hope, always have faith, always trust Jesus Christ. Why are we even here and listening to this if that is not the reason? Let's rejoice on this glorious day. Give all the glory to him. Give thanksgiving to him. He is truly, truly good to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for what your Son has done and accomplished for us. And we thank you that heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished for us, that reality will not even change. Even as we sin, it will not change. It is our eternal reality that has already been accomplished. And let us, Father, walk by faith, not by sight. Let us not judge anything according to the flesh, but according to the reality that our Lord has accomplished for his people. Let us witness the reality of heaven. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.